Father, we thank you for being with us tonight. Father God, every infirmity that's in this place tonight, I want to see it healed before the service ends. Your word tells us that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, your Son, we are healed. We're standing on that tonight, Father. Your word also tells us that no weapon formed against us can prosper. We've prayed every prayer that we know to pray. We stood in all the faith that there is, Father, and we're believing that this weapon will not prosper another second. And Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Tonight I want to talk about Peter's shadow. Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 12 says, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." See, they're always with one accord. "Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed." Now, we're supposed to be fitting into this category, okay? The word shadow here, in verse 15, "so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them." Now, the word shadow in the original Greek does not mean a dark spot made by the sun. It was a word meaning effulgence, a radiance, a shining forth of divine energy. All right? Think about this. If the word translated shadow simply means a dark spot caused by sunlight, then on cloudy days there would be no healings. And when the sun was overhead, Peter would have to stand on top of the sick ones in order for a shadow to touch them. And in early morning or late evening, when the shadows were long, only one side of the street would receive healing. All right? Isn't that interesting? One of the dictionary definitions of radiation is propagation of radiant energy. This is exactly what was happening in the case of the Apostle Peter. It was not Peter's power or holiness that was radiating, it was the presence and power of Christ. The radiance of Christ. It has been scientifically and medically proven that each of us gives off rays of energy. This life force can be strong or weak, positive or negative, good or evil, depending upon the experience and relationship of that person to God. Medical science has developed a machine that can measure this life force in a patient on a positive or negative scale. People who have a large or heavy radiation of life force, be it good or evil, are said to have charisma. When they enter a room, their presence immediately demands attention, many times without a word being spoken. Are you still up with me yet? Finney, the revivalist, had such a passion for lost souls that he could walk through a factory and great conviction would grip the hearts of workers as he passed by. And they would just fall on their face and weep and receive Christ. At one of his revivals, a woman was healed of cancer. She stated that as she stood in the prayer line, the closer she got to the man of God, the more it seemed like waves of glory, like breakers rolling in from the sea, pressed against her until she could hardly move forward. Finally, she went down. The preacher never did touch her, but the cancer was gone. What was it? It was the radiation of the power of God for healing a modern-day Peter's shadow. All right. Paul's clothing. Saul of Tarsus had met with a man of Galilee on the road to Damascus in a blaze of divine light. The light brighter than the noonday sun hit him, and the radiance and reflection of it never left him. Say that again. Saul of Tarsus had met with a man of Galilee, you know, who was Jesus, right, on the road to Damascus in a blaze of divine light. The light, brighter than a noonday sun, hit him, and the radiance and reflection of it never left him. Everywhere he went, that divine life of Christ radiated out from him to people in need. Demons reacted violently whenever they came into his presence. All right? Are you understanding this? Acts 19:11-12. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. See that? Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. What was happening? What caused this? Was there some special quality or fetish power in the clothes that Paul wore? Remember, these articles were taken from his body. These are articles of clothing that had been on Paul's person and had been saturated with the flow of divine life that was in Paul. All right? That radiance of the substance of God that radiated out from him like Peter's shadow had an effect on his clothes. Hello? So that when his clothing came in contact with evil spirits or sicknesses, the devil fled the scene. Do your clothes hold an anointing? Think about that. Paul was so filled with the power of God, so yielded to the flow of the Holy Spirit, that the outflow of the presence and substance of God saturated his clothing. Now let's stop here. When I was first born again, God told me never to go to Goodwill. He's always buy your clothes brand new. Never wear anything handed down. And as I was putting this together, I thought about it. Whenever you go and you buy hand-me-down clothes, you don't know who had them on. You know? And I'd really pray really hard over anything I bought, that was hand-me-down, that was given to my children, to get all the spirits out of them so they don't affect your children, because that does work that way. When I was overseas in Germany, we was over there 5 years, I worked at the club because it was, they made it a family thing, and I used to take my clothes to the, whatever they called that on the base, I forgot what they called it now, thrift shop. And one day I got a phone call from the thrift shop, and she said, do you have any more clothes you want to bring to us? I said, no, I don't. And she said, well, everybody's coming in asking if you've brought any more clothes in. And I said, why would they do that? And they said, when they put your clothes on, there's something that they feel different about themselves. And I wasn't born again then either. Are you seeing this? Come on. Before I was born again, I was carrying the anointing and didn't know it. Many of you in here tonight are carrying an anointing and you don't know it. And that anointing was saturating my clothes. And people, when they bought my used clothes, they like what they felt. Where am I at? On the Holy Mount. On the next page. On the Holy Mount. I want you to think about this, guys, okay? On the Holy Mount, Matthew 17:1-2. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Notice the order of these three things. He was transfigured, his face shined, his raiment was affected. Are you listening here? It was not something that came upon him externally, from without. It was a revealing and unveiling of the radiating glory of the Father that was within him. All right? Luke 9:28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on a mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. See, they had fallen asleep. They didn't see what happened, but when they got awake, they saw his glory and the two men. Notice that when his glory was revealed, it first of all caused his countenance or face to be altered. It shined as the sun. What was invisible became visible. The veil of flesh was drawn back, and the radiance of his glory that had caused the cripples to walk and the blind to see was seen here by the disciples. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 2 Peter 1:16 says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. The Apostle Peter says that they were eyewitnesses of his majesty. It wasn't something they made up or had somebody read where somebody else wrote. You know, whenever I'll come to one of you and I'll say, go over there and hug that person. Then I say, release the anointing that's in you into that person. Don't I say that to you? Because, see, you have it, and you know, God will tell me who to tell to go hug who. I just don't do it willy-nilly. So whatever that person needs, that anointing is in you. When I tell you to go hug them and release the anointing that's in you into them, God knows who has the anointing that that person needs, and that's who he sends. Are you listening here? You need to carry this anointing for this end time hour that we're going into. All right? Come on. And anytime God tells you to lay your hands on somebody, make sure it's God, then there's something in you. There's an anointing in you. There's a power in you that God, the minute you lay hands on them, God releases that power, that anointing from you into them. He transfers that because they need that. All right. So don't just run up and start hugging people. Don't do that. It has to be led by the Holy Spirit. If it's led by the Holy Spirit, then they will receive what they need. Are you listening here? 1 John 1:1-2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. They saw the light in Jesus. When you go forth in this hour, the people are going to have to see the light in you. If they're going to believe anything you have to say, excuse me, they're going to have to see the light in you. We're not going to be able to just go out there just to go out there. We have to carry an anointing. All right? We have to carry an anointing. When you come up here to the altar, I could go down by you and I could touch each one of you and you would receive from God and you would go down. But I'm trying to teach you people, you don't need somebody to lay hands on you, even though the word does say you should lay hands on people. What you need to do is receive straight from God. And I tell you to watch who you allow to lay hands on you. You don't allow anybody, just anybody, to lay hands on you, because they could be transferring something in you you really don't want. Amen. Don't allow a lustful person to do it. Don't allow a stranger that you don't do. Don't allow them to lay hands on you. This glory radiating out of the life and body of Jesus was there all the time. And I thought about that, and I thought about what Francis Hunter and Kenneth Hagin told me. You already have the anointing. So that's what I'm saying. You have the anointing. You just don't understand it's there. Hear me? But the natural eye could not see it. So let me read that again, Nancy. This glory radiating out of the life and body of Jesus was there all the time. But the natural eye could not see it. The sick were healed, the dead were raised, and demons were cast out. It was the outflow of divine life. It was the radiating power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came on the scene, the whole atmosphere was changed. We can be here in this church and all of a sudden the atmosphere changes and I can look around and somebody that has not been here before or somebody that's messed up has just walked in the door. And they brought that with them. Are you listening? You have to understand all this if you're going to minister properly to the Lord. You really are. When Jesus passed by, joy replaced grief, pain fled away, death retreated, devil screamed in terror and frustration. Why do you think sometimes the devil just up and appears here? It's the anointing of God that's in the service, and the demons and the people can't deal with it, and they want to leave, and they're trying to take that person, make that person get out of here. Amen? Come on. The radiating glory of God was felt everywhere he went. And finally, his clothing was so saturated by this radiating glory that it was seen as white and glistening. One woman merely touched the hem of his garment with faith in her heart and was made whole of her affliction. Now, remember I told you the story about the pastor's husband who was always wanting to dance and speak in tongues. And I was just sitting just like Nancy is at the end row, and he happened to walk by me. He was going to go do something. And because I felt it leave my body. I didn't know what it was, but I felt it leave my body, and it hit him. And he started praising the Lord, speaking in tongues. He danced all over the room. He didn't stop. And he gave a testimony that when he passed me, something hit him from me, and it caused him to do that. See, I was carrying an anointing that I didn't know I had. Are you listening? And the pastor, I said, Pastor, what's going on with me? She said, just sit down and shut up. See, she couldn't explain it either, so I'm not blaming her. What I'm telling you is, you might have the same anointing in you and you don't understand that it's there. Don't try to conjure it up. It doesn't work. Remember the story I told you about when my aunt died and went to a funeral home? When everybody was in there a buzz, and I opened the door and walked in, and everybody shut up and turned around and looked at me and said, who is this? It's just come in the room. You know? And even my daddy said, I don't know who is that. It was a little dim in the funeral. And so as I walked up, he said, oh, it's my daughter, Jimmy. Hi, Jimmy. And they said, that's Jimmy. You know, they called me Jimmy when I was growing up. But, you know, so I didn't know. I wasn't even born again then, but I had an anointing. Then when I walked into the room, it demanded attention. Are you understanding this? Watch what goes on in your life so you can understand what's in you. Watch what goes on in your life. Watch how people react to you. When I raised a dead dog, there had to be an anointing in me to raise a dead dog. There was fear there too. All right. But there had to be, even without the fear, there had to be an anointing there for that dead dog and the two men to be raised from the dead. Did I feel different? No. In fact, I've been crying out to God ever since I've been getting this sermon together. Do I still have that anointing? God said to me, I never take the gift from you, and you haven't done anything to lose it. Just use it. So, you know, there is anointing there. You just don't understand it's there. All right? All right, the works that I do, is that where I'm at? The works that I do, John 14:12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Now, does he lie? Then what did he say? Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Jesus said that we would do the same works that he did, and they must be done with the same power. When I first started and these things are going on, I didn't understand it. God said, I want you to get in my word, read everything that my son did from the time he was born. He said, and you're walking in it. So I went in and I started understanding what God was doing with me. Right? Remember I told you a story about going into the old folks' home? And you can't get old folk to be quiet. And they gathered all these old folk into the room. And she said, well, good luck, because she went out the door because they was really rowdy. And I stood up there, and they immediately shut up. They never opened their mouth, not once, to do nothing the whole 45 minutes or hour we were there. And the nurses kept coming, looking in the window to see what I was doing with them. What was it? That was the anointing of God, and it commanded attention. Are you understanding this? And don't let people put you down. You're not bragging about you. I'm trying to teach you something. You're not bragging about yourself. It's just that the anointing is within, and God wants you to use it and bring it out. The same compassion and love, and for this, all right, let me say it again. Jesus said that we would do the same works that he did, and they must be done with the same power, the same compassion and love, and for the same reasons, not to show off. Are you listening? Not to get your name in lights, not to say, ooh, look what I did. You didn't do nothing. And God will let you know that real quick if you keep that prideful thing up. There was an outflowing of his life for the deliverance of a lost and dying world from its sin. There was an outflowing of his life. So we have Jesus in us. So we have that outflowing also, right? For the deliverance of a lost and dying world from its sin. Sickness, sorrow, pain, death, and demonic bondage. And if a believer has other selfish reasons for wanting the power of God, he is in trouble. You know, wanting it and then saying, well, and acting all humble, falsely humble, saying, well, you know, I don't know. That's just as bad as, you know, want it for the wrong reason. We're supposed to be bold in God and know what's inside of us and know how to use it. Use it the same way Jesus did, boldly. He didn't knock on the door and say, can I come in? He opened the door and he walked right on in with his power. And the devil's trembled, right? God is preparing a body of people in the earth, a church, who will radiate with that same glory and life that Jesus had. They will do the same works he did. They will reveal him to a world lost in the darkness of sin. God is preparing a body of people in the earth, a church who will radiate with that same glory and life that Jesus had. That's what God's trying to do to you bunch. They will do the same works he did. They will reveal him into a world lost in the darkness of sin. Are you ready to do that? I've been reading a lot of stuff here lately. Said that God is using the remnant that he's been preparing right now. For the remnant that he's been preparing, can he use you? Are you willing to go out there boldly and just let the anointing that is within come out and touch other people's lives? You know, I think that's why I offend people so much. Jesus offended everybody, you know. And I offend everybody, too. I think it's because of the power within. And the enemy gets upset that's in the people you're talking to and says, who does she think she is? You know, and then they act up. Right? So if people get offended with you, and you, like God told me, they're not getting offended with you. They're getting offended with the Christ that's in you. All right? So quit being all upset because somebody gets offended with you. Because it's not you anyhow. It's the God in you that enemy sees. And he hates him. He hates the fact that you even have guts enough to carry him around. And get in his face. Come on, that's the truth, because God just said that. The body of Christ, I read something today where it says there's reformation going on in the church. And I don't remember what else it said, but it said that. It said the church had to change. The body of Christ does have to change. The body of Christ has to become very, very bold with what they know and with what they have. And that's the only way you're going to win a lost and a dying world. Is if you allow that boldness to rise up within you. And you allow that anointing to rise up and then use it. The devil isn't going to, you know, you walk up and say, would you please leave that person? He's not going anywhere. Get out in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, In fact, spirit-filled, consecrated children of God are already radiating his presence, flowing out with rivers of living waters through the power of the Spirit. Why do you think the flaggers can do such a wonderful job? They're radiating the power of God. They have consecrated themselves to God. They have dedicated themselves to do this thing for the Lord. They made a covenant with God. We want to do the very best we can for you, Father. Please come and dance in us. You wave the flags, God, not us. We're just empty vessels. You take our arms and you wave those flags. You touch our feet and you dance. And when you do that, God takes control. Exodus 33:19. Then he said, then God said to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Now, when God said that Moses would see his back parts, he did not mean that he would pass by Moses in a nude body. Nor did he mean that he would be in some beautiful robe. And that Moses would see only the back of the robe and the back of God's head. What the language of this beautiful scripture is actually getting at is that God's goodness, his glory, and his divine presence would pass by, and that the radiance of his glory and presence would leave a glow all about the rock where Moses stood. Isn't that what happens? Come on. I often thought too, well, God, why would you want to go walk by and have him look at you naked, you know? But he wants you, he told Moses, well, he even said, why would he hide him in the cleft of the rock as he passed by? If it wasn't because of his glory being so heavy. Exodus 34:28. So he was there with the Lord 40 days. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Because he didn't have a mirror, right? So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. They were afraid to go near Moses because he shined so much. Where did this glory come from? From being in the presence of God. Some of you people, I can tell when you've really been spending time with God, because when you walk in here, your face is glowing. And every time I say something to you, say, yeah, I've been spending a lot of time with God. If you're really spending a lot of consecrated time with God, you will glow. There will be a difference about you when you walk in here. Christ Jesus lived in a human body under a veil of humanity. But behind that veil was the Shekinah glory of God, and the radiation of that glory flowed continually all about him, healing, helping, saving, loving. Let's read that again. But behind that veil was the Shekinah glory of God, and the radiation of that glory flowed continually all about him, healing, helping, saving, and loving. You know, if you even really read the story about when he was going to be crucified, that one king was afraid of him. I don't want nothing to do with this. I'm going to wash my hands of this. Because he knew. He knew who he was. The bones of Elijah. Let's look at this. When a man of God is walking in the Spirit, believing the promises of God and speaking the word of the Lord, you can feel the life of God flowing out of him. This is what makes the laying on of hands so effective. Faith in Jesus, along with his physical contact with one who believes, brings great results. Let's say that again. When a man of God is walking in the Spirit, believing the promises of God, and speaking the word of the Lord, you can feel the life of God flowing out of him. This is what makes the laying on of hands so effective. Faith in Jesus, along with his physical contact with one who believes, brings great results. But how long does this substance of God remain in the body or in the clothing? This would depend on how much exposure the believer had to the presence of God. One who walks continually with God, who lives in the Spirit, and who stays in his presence, would have a greater radiation of his power, more effective results, and longer staying power. See, so I said you can't just walk in and out of the presence of God. You have to have a continual relationship with the Father. I used to always wear claws, and because people had always wanted them, and we'd give them to them, and they'd taken, you know, and do things with them, and whatever they did with them, it happened. And I always remember the story can't think of his name now. Anyhow, somebody's mother was in a mental institution, and they brought him a bag of M&Ms. And he said they wouldn't let him take claws in there, she loved M&Ms, so they brought him a bag of M&Ms, and he wore the bag of M&Ms, and gave it back to the person, and they took it to their mother, and she ate the M&Ms, and she became sane again. And see the anointing on his body. Who is that? Chambok, yes, thank you. The anointing on his body went into the M&Ms. Isn't that awesome? What would happen if you wore a bag of M&Ms? What would go into it? You got to think about that. Second Kings 13:20. You really think about this kind of stuff. What would happen if I did something like that? And Elijah died, and they buried him. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast, let me start that again. And Elijah died, and they buried him. And it came to pass that they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast a man into the sepulchre of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood up on his feet. And there the story ends. No more said about Elijah's bones. Now, that's a lot of anointing. It was just his bones down there. He had already rotted away, right? So he had to be there a while. What would happen if somebody laid somebody on you? Amen. Come on. Think about all this. Here is a prophet who had received the mantle of Elijah, who had asked for and received a double portion of his spirit. Here was one who had recorded twice as many miracles as Elijah, who had caused Aaron to float, made the widow's pot of oil flow until all her debts were paid, and who had raised the Shunammite woman's son from the dead. He had lived and walked in the presence of the God of heaven. He had healed the poison in the pot of food, fed 100 men with a handful of food, healed Naaman's leprosy, and captured an entire army single-handedly by the power of God. Now that's what he did with the power of God, because he walked close to God. What have you done? Come on. What have you done? Gethsemane, John 18:4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered, "Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Now when he spoke, the anointing was in him so strong, they went backward and fell to the ground. When you speak, does anybody fall backwards? What kind of power was it that knocked them to the ground? It was a radiant power of his glory, and the powers of darkness in them could not stand before it. When he said, "I am," a force of life and light issued out of him like a tidal wave. Now let's read that again. What kind of power was it that knocked them to the ground? It was the radiant power of his glory. And the powers of darkness in them could not stand before it. When he said, "I am," a force of life and light issued out of him like a tidal wave. Come on. Do you want this kind of power in life? Then are you willing to go to your Gethsemane? Are you willing to renounce all destructive forces of the natural life? Peter's shadow was not for Peter alone. The transfiguration of Jesus is something we can participate in. We say yes so willingly. But what happens whenever we face this thing head on? What do you do with it? Remember that as a story I told you about when I went to see that prophet from Africa at this pastor's house. And when I walked in, he was writing feverishly, you know, and he said, his wife said, "There's a lady here." And so he looked up and he said, "You're the woman." And he dropped his pen. And I don't remember another thing he said to me. And then he told the pastor, this is a mightily anointed woman of God. Treat her with respect. He told her that after I left. But God was revealing to him who was coming in next. Telling him all. He told me what God said, but I wish I could remember, but I can't. So what I'm asking you is God's going to say to some prophet something like that about you? Now, I'm not bragging. I'm trying to let you see what you can carry if you walk close to God. My life has been nothing but hell all my life. But I've always had God in me. Are you listening or with me? Well, he had to be in me too. So what I'm saying is it doesn't matter what you're going through in your lifetime, God is there. He's there all the time. His anointing is in you. I didn't know about being born again, but still I went to church and his anointing was always in me. But then my mother said, she had six children, and she said, when you were born, there was something so different about you. All the nurses would come in and said, this child is different. So I sort of strut my stuff every now and then when I'm at home, and I said, you know what, God, I come straight from heaven. I'm proud that I'm a child of the Most High God, aren't you? Come on. My mother said, you're always different all your life. And so when I started preaching, she doesn't surprise me one bit. So, you know, I only know this because I was told, you know. But what about you? What happened to you when you were born? It could very same thing could have been happened. You could have been different than any other child that was born there that day or that week. You could have come straight to the throne of grace. Bloop, there you are. Never knowing that you were different, but being different. God would never let me date. I never smoked cigarettes. I never drank. I never cussed. I never did any of that stuff. I had no desire to. My grand said, why didn't you do it just a little tiny bit? I said, no, I didn't even do it just a little tiny bit. God had set me apart for a reason. Now think about your life. What has your life been about? Has God set you apart for a reason? Come on. The same identical word used in Mark chapter 9, translated there as transfigured, is used two other places relating to us. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that word is used again when it says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God has been trying to change you from glory to glory to glory from the very first day you got born again. So we went through 10 years of pure hell in the church. That's over with. Now we need to move on because God told me, don't desire what you have back then. Remember, I kept telling you that. He said, because where I'm taking you to is so much greater than what you're leaving behind. And what I left behind was really great, you know, raising the dead, you know, and seeing people healed without even touching them, you know, and all kinds of things. That was great. But God said, what I'm taking you to is so much greater than what you're leaving behind. So, guys, we're headed for something so great that we can't even describe it. Is sin worth losing out on all that? Ask yourself. Well, some of you might say yes, because you like sin. But, you know, you who don't like sin, is sin really worth it to lose out on all that? Come on. Where am I at? Paul says, is that where I'm at? Yeah. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, but this treasure we have in earthen vessels. We're earthen vessels, right? We have the treasures of heaven in us. Y'all don't even understand what I'm saying here tonight. Not in its fullest. Come on. That's what I see you standing here and you're standing there. Bah, 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 bah. Shut up and go down. Don't stand there and pray in the Spirit and talk to God. You're trying to receive from God. He doesn't want you to give to Him. He's trying to give to you. I know that was shrewd, but you know, come on, church. I've seen too much of that. I'm too spiritual. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to go down. But no, you're not spiritual at all. You're losing your blessing. Then I get mad too at the kids I see go down and then sit there and, you know, get your clothes all adjusted, look around, see who's watching them. I thought, come on now. It goes from one extreme to the other. Just receive from God what He wants to give you. If He doesn't want to give you anything, well, then go sit down. You know, there's no problem there with any of us. Just go sit down. Like, can't think of pastor's name now. I was at his meeting, and the one from Florida, one that laughs all the time. Rodney Howard Brown. And, you know, I went to one of his services, and he told us all to line up, and he was going down touching everybody. He touched me, walked back behind, he came back and said, "Barbara, receive," and smacked me on the head. I went out. You know, he knew me personally, but yeah, I walked on by, and he couldn't believe I didn't receive it. Come back, did you? I was really upset that night. You know, I was really hurt. And so he came back and smacked me good. Bump on the head, you know, but I did go out in the spirit. Stayed out for quite some time. But thank God he came back and told me to receive, right? And I just said, well, who does he think that he is? I knew who he was. He's a mighty man of God. And he was trying to help me, not hinder me. Right? See, there's too much pride in the body of Christ. Well, who do they think they are? I'm not going down if I don't want to. I have so many people say, boy, when I watched everybody go down, and when you come to me, I wasn't going down for that. I braced my knees as hard as I could brace my knees, and I stood there. I'm not going down, but bloop, down I went. Come on. Why would you do that? Why not just receive? Why just not receive everything God has for you? You know, some of you fall down and you're all of a sudden looking, well, this didn't do me any good. Get up and go sit down. You'd be surprised what that did to you. All right, lost my place again. Where am I at? We're in 2 Corinthians 3:18. No? 4:17. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, "But this treasure we have in earthen vessels, praise God that the treasure is there and radiating. Rest in Him. Know what there is and who there is within you. Recognize the radiant glory that is vibrating from your being. And seek His presence so that glory and power might be greatly increased for the sake of His body as well as a lost world. Release the Christ within." We're going to read that again, but I'm going to stop her and say, I've gone to churches where the minister didn't have the anointing that I have. And I'm not bragging. I'm just going to explain something to you. The minister didn't have the anointing I had, so they were jealous. They did everything in the world to stop me from ministering. And then when I was ministering, they come up there and act like they were doing the ministering so they could receive the glory. Now, isn't that dumb? Why would you do that? I told you about the time this one pastor up the other end of Dover invited me to his church, and I got there at 7. They got there at 9. They were having dinner somewhere. The whole church having dinner somewhere. And so then he just talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. And finally, he said, well, you know, we have Reverend Barbara Lynch here. And she's going to give us the word. And then a prophet from New York stood up and said, you better give her honor because she's a true child of God. She said, honey, you get up here and you give the word. Because I was really devastated at that point. And I got up here and gave the word, and God moved in power. And God spoke to the pastor's son and told him he'd better straight up or he was going straight to hell. You know? But see, people will do that to you because they see the anointing. The devil in them sees the anointing in you, and that devil's not gonna, in them is not going to allow you to get in there and trespass in his territory. Come on. I hope none of you ever do that. I hope you're never jealous of somebody else's anointing because that is stupid. Most of you, no, I don't think any of you could stand up here and do what I do the way I do it because you don't have my personality. And I sure couldn't do what Astrid does. Or Nancy here. Reverend Nancy ministered in a way and people love her. You know? You know, she showed off one time. We were both invited to the same church. She ministered before I did and she was so sweet, you know? And oh, they loved her. And I'm sitting there saying, oh, well, the word I have is sort of hard to give these. She just told them they're the sweetest things in the world. And, you know, honey was going to drip on them all the time. So I got up there with my word. Told them they didn't get straightened up, they're going to go to hell. And then I started prophesying to people, and they weren't right. And they didn't like me. They wouldn't invite her back, but not me. I thought, how am I going to do this? Remember that, honey? We met there. I said, how am I going to do this? She was up there and told them all these wonderful things, and I know what God showed me about these people, and it was not good. I guess He had to get them prepared for me. Well, let's get Pastor Barbara in. Wasn't she good? But they hugged on Nancy and, you know, followed her down the aisle and everything else, you know. They liked that honey dripping, but they did not like it when I got in there and told them their business. So get prepared for that kind of stuff. You know? Get prepared for it. It's going to happen to you. Was I intimidated? Absolutely not. Because I know sometimes when I hear some of the words, you know, even whenever I give and I hear some of the words and I'm sitting there and God's telling me something different than what you're getting, I'm going to shut my mouth. Because right now they're happy. And if I open my mouth and tell them what I'm hearing, you know, because God does that, you know, they're not going to be happy any longer. So I just let you go home glorified. Amen. See, I don't have to give a word. I'm not like that. I could sit here and I could hear a word for everybody in this room and never give, not open my mouth one time. I don't have to prove who I am. I know who I am. Come on. Now I lost my place. All right, we'll read it over again. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, but this treasure we have in earthen vessels, praise God that the treasure is there and radiating. I want you to get that in your spirit. Rest in Him. Know what there is and who there is within you. Recognize the radiant glory that is vibrating from your being and seek His presence so the glory and power might be greatly increased for the sake of His body as well as a lost world. The things in you are for a lost world and for the church, because the church is lost too. So God is trying to get a people prepared who will go forth and radiate His power. Who will be bold and speak what He says, that He tells them to speak, and not caring whether people like it or not. John the Baptist sure didn't. And we're supposed to be the second John the Baptist, preparing for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist told the Pharisees what he saw them, didn't he? The Sadducees, they're big old, these religious people. I remember one time, I think I used to embarrass Brother Chris until he got used to me. We had a prayer line here, and these ladies went go down. And I said, what did I say? Yeah. They would not go down. And the anointing was so strong. I said, just stand right there because you're bound. I'll be back. When I came back, they went down, but they didn't go down in the spirit. They just went down because I said that. But, you know, it was the truth, right? And the truth should set you free. It did. It freed them to lay down so I'd leave them alone. Would you rather I say, oh, you're just so wonderful and so great and you're going to go to heaven and blah, blah, blah? Or would you rather know that you're bound and you need to be set free so you can go to heaven? Right? Well, they're saying that the church has to change and be radical. Do you think we're changing radical enough? All right, release the Christ within you. You can change the atmosphere about you. Regardless of how dark or depressing it may be, you can radiate with His power and glory like a blazing light where darkness covers the earth and gross darkness of people. You can change the atmosphere. You can. And you must. In your homes, you have to change the atmosphere. If not, the devil's going to totally destroy everybody in the house. I didn't say you had to be happy about the atmosphere, but you can change it. You don't, you know, you can bring your little bit of light that's left yet after the devil's trampled all over it. Because, you know, sometimes you in a house full of dark, 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 dark people, right? And you really have to struggle to keep your light lit. Isn't that right? Isaiah 61:2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you each one in here, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles, what does it say? His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Do you believe that scripture? Do you not? That scripture is one that this church, God said, that was our scripture. And that His glory had come. And then God told me, He said, daughter, my glory is here. It's just not here the way you want it. How many of you know you have the power of God in you, but it's just not the way you want it. You want more of that power. You want more of that glory. Amen? You want it so much when you walk through the door, the building will tremble. You know, because Jesus in you just walked through the door. Come on. I know some of you think I'm radical. I am. Come on. I am, because I've seen the power and authority of Jesus Christ. I know what we can do whenever we believe and receive. My grandson, my older grandson who's 30-something, he was supposed to wear braces on his legs all his life, never be able to walk properly. The boy doesn't wear a brace one, never has, and he can walk just as good as you and I can. Because my daughter brought him home, and Teresa brought him home and said, Mom, this is what the doctor said. I said, he's a liar. He had a cast on him, you know, and you know those metal braces between his feet and special shoes. I took them dumb things off, threw them in the trash, took them in the bathtub. And Teresa said, what am I going to tell the doctor? I said, just tell him your stupid mother took it off. And we soaked that brace off of his, I soaked that brace off of his leg, and that kid hasn't had a brace on his leg since. They weren't going to curse my grandson like that, make him a cripple. That's how radical I used to be. And I become that again. I want each and every one of you in here to get radical for God. I want you to know that you have the anointing of Jesus Christ abiding within you. The power and authority is there. All you have to do is have faith and believe and use it. Come on. If we're going to win Delaware and Lower Delaware and whatever else we're supposed to win to Christ, we have to be radical people. We cannot be the same as everybody else is. We have to be different.